Exodus chapter 20, if you've got your Bibles this morning. Listen to what this says, because there is a fear that has to happen in our lives, or we do not have what God tells us that we have to have. If there's no fear of God, then you have no relationship with God. You hear me? If there is no fear of God, if there's never been a fear of God in your life, then you do not have a relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Goes back even to the Old Testaments. After the people had received the commandments of God, here's how they responded. And this is again in verse 18. All the people perceived the thunder and lightning and flashes and the sounds of thunder and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood at a distance. Then they said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen. But not God speak to us or we will die. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. For God has come in order to test you. And in order that the fear of Him may remain with you. And it didn't stop there. He didn't want to be a being that people are afraid of. But this next part, all the scriptures hinge on this next few words. That the fear of Him may remain with you so that you may not sin. God doesn't just take us to heaven, folks. You know, and every time you preach a funeral, that's what it's all about. Are they in heaven? Everybody wants me to tell them that their loved ones are in heaven, regardless of how they lived. It doesn't matter what the preacher says. I can't determine your destiny. I can't tell you as you lay in that coffin, oh yeah, he's in a better place or she's in a better place. And oh man, just walking the streets of gold and the pearly gates. And boy, everything's just wonderful and God's taking care of them. I can't tell you that. That's not within my power or my authority that God has given me to tell you where you're at or where your loved ones are at. God has to do that. And that's why He wrote the scriptures, is so that we would know, that He would know truth, so we would, so our darkness would come to the light, and that we would do something about that, and that would be that we don't sin. You see, when we make a religion about going to heaven and God's love supersedes His holiness, then we've created a God that doesn't exist and we've given people false hope. What I tell people at funerals, if they are a child of God and they have been born again, they're in heaven. If they're not a child of God and born again, they're in hell. That's the only answer I have, because that's the only answer that I have been given. You see, when the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, then you'll know. If you have to rely on any other thing in your life or in your world to determine whether you will spend eternity. You see, our focus should be on the righteousness of God, not where we spend eternity. And so, as we come in here, he says that fear must remain in us, even after we become children of God. That fear must remain in us so that we would not sin against God. God punishes those whom He loves. And if you can live a life contrary to God's word, and you're not punished and you're not loved by God. It's really that simple. Let's look at Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. And as I told you, fear is talked about so much in Scripture, but of all the messages that preachers preach, no one ever preaches or teaches the fear of God. We always want to talk about the love of God. Well, the love of God doesn't exist without the fear of God. See, that universal love that God displayed upon the world by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, with an agape love and a righteous love, But again, it's the fear of God that allows us to understand what that love is and what that love is about. Because without that fear, you can't understand what God has done for us. Beginning in chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you'll receive my words and you treasure my commandments within you, you make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. So again, the nature here is that we really want to know truth. We want to really know what God says about it. We're not trying to bring and create a God that comes along with our ideas. Zach read, "Our God, your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts." And somehow we think that we want to bring God's ideas down, and somehow we mesh them with man's ideas, and somehow we come up with a covenant that we both agree on. No, this is a covenant God has laid forth and says, this is what it is. You either come on board with what I say, or you're not on board at all. There's no compromise with God. God does not compromise his holiness or his integrity for our sakes. He has come plainly and laid it out and said, this is what it's about. I have condemned all of mankind. There's no, not one just. There's no one that has a righteous heart. There's no one that seeks after me on their own. Mankind is hopelessly lost. And I write scriptures, and I write truth, so that you can come to that unveiling knowledge and that unveiling wisdom that God gives us to know where we stand before him, and therefore the fear of God should strike in us. Because without someone intervening for us, we're destined to a second death. Physical death, we're all going to do. That's you can't, I don't care how tall you are or how short you are, how much money you have or how good you can sing or play baseball or soccer or whatever you do and you think you do well. I don't care how many sermons you preach from a pulpit, that does not merit anything with God. For if I cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, think about the efforts and all that men spend on seeking treasures in this world. And the efforts and the money that is spent because it's so important to them. So how do we make our eternal destiny more important than anything in this world? How do we make that supersede anything that we think is important? Well, you can't. The natural man will not allow you to do that. See, this worship that we have and the heavenly things that God wants us to be instruments for him, that light on that hill, that ambassador for him, can't happen unless we've been born again. You see, it's his agape love that allows us to have that love for those that we don't even know. Because it becomes about souls. It becomes about where people spend eternity. You see, when we just haphazardly grab what the world tells us, well, here's eternal security, here's what it is, and all you got to do is say a prayer and go on a mission trip and go out and do good things, and all that does you no good if you're not born again. But we don't seek for it. It's not on the forefronts of our life. We're not begging for understanding. It's easier to allow someone else to tell us what it says. You see, this artificial intelligence that's coming in our generations coming up, they don't want to think for themselves. They just want to be told what to do. So many people come and sit and listen to the Word of God, and they're not seeking it for themselves. They're not. It's not like a treasure that they got to know and they got to have. Just tell me what I'm supposed to do. If I'm supposed to say a prayer, well, fine. I'll say. If all I got to do is say a prayer, go to heaven. By George, I'm going to say it. People are okay with that. Our world has become so complacent in the fact that there's some preacher stands up here and tells them what it says. But there's no desire in your heart to pick up the scriptures and sit with Almighty God and say, is that guy telling me the truth? You can't blame the preacher. You can't blame your mom and dad. God wrote it here. But you better approach it with fear. See, we don't approach it with fear because we take the love of God and we make Him this God of love that doesn't matter where you live, how you live, what you've been, what you've done, and what you're going to do. He's going to love you. Well, that's not the love of God. I don't know how we came up with that when you read Scripture that's the love of God. The love of God is based on holiness so that we don't sin. Yes, it's true that He might find us in this sinful state, but He can't leave us there, or He doesn't love us. If you have a relationship with God that allows you to continue to walk in the sin in the same way that you were, that He found you, or what people say, I found Jesus. Well, Jesus was never lost. You're the lost one. But if you stay in that same state, then it hasn't done you any good. The love of God does you no good because it wasn't based on fear. Because you keep on sinning. And if you keep on sinning, you have no fear of God. And therefore, you don't have a relationship that the Scriptures talks about. But you got a seeker of silver. See, seeker is something that's important for you. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord. What does it mean to discern something? It means it becomes evident, that it becomes real in your life. And discover the knowledge of God. So you can't discover the knowledge of God without the fear of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. Where does wisdom come from? If you look up wisdom in the dictionary, it says it's by experience. See, we have a worldly wisdom definition. And you gain wisdom by experience. No. Spiritual wisdom comes from a gift. It's given to you by God. And experience has nothing to do with it. It leads to experience. It leads to experience. But wisdom comes from God. But if you don't have fear, you can't have the wisdom and the knowledge of God and the understanding of God without this fear. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I strongly understand who God is and what God's about. That was given to me by Scripture and Him allowing me to understand. It's been revealed to me. I wasn't taught this by man. I was taught this by God. I didn't need anyone to teach me. I don't need anyone to teach me. I don't mind sitting under a teacher, but I'm always going to have the Holy Spirit teaching me while that teacher's teaching me. Because there are people out there that might teach you wrong. There are preachers out there that are going to preach the wrong thing. See, they're going to create a God for you that makes you feel good. I'm going to present a God to you this morning that you better fear. Because if you don't fear, you're going to die and go to hell. You better fear God, or you don't have any idea what I'm talking about this morning. You better ask God to strike the fear of Him in you if you have no fear of God. And I'm going to back it up by Scripture. Let's look at Proverbs 14, 26 to 27. It says, in the fear of the Lord, there is strong confidence, and his children will have refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may avoid the snares of death. What does sin bring? What's the only thing sin can bring? What did sin bring to us? Not only spiritual death in the garden, that we were no longer walking in accordance to God's commandments and his will, but in our own will. And then there's a second death. There's going to be a death that's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. When he comes back in judgment, you stand before him, and your name's not written in Lamb's Book of Life, you're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's the second death. That's all sin can bring is death. And it's the fear of God that keeps you from sinning. It's the fear of God in your life that says, wait a minute, there's something going to happen here. Let's look at Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. And before honor comes, humility. So without the fear of the Lord, you don't even know how to handle the wisdom. It's the fear of God that gives you instruction to handle the wisdom. The wisdom, it gives you that ability to handle the knowledge of God. But it's all based on fear. We have forgotten who God is. We have forgotten that he created all of this with a spoken word. We forgot that he's the one that defines what sin is. We don't get together as a government or a people or a church and determine how God sees and handles and accepts sin. We don't get to weigh one sin greater than another. You not coming in here prepared to worship is as great a sin as that homosexual, the LGBT, and yet the church will not accept that. They keep coming in here lackadaisically because God, they haven't experienced the true redemption of Jesus Christ in their lives, and they don't come in here with the excitement and the gratitude of what God has done for them. He became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. Not so that you sit there and sing a few songs. We talked about it in Sunday school, a little bit about the Lord's Supper. There's churches that go out there and they do the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and they think just because they acknowledge the Lord's Supper that they're okay with God. No, you acknowledge the Lord's Supper because you've been born again, and therefore you have a reason to celebrate. For somehow we've allowed our world to accept that we go through all the protocols of religion, and somehow that makes us okay with God. And there's no fear in any of that. Religion takes away all fear of God because God's love is so great that we forget the commandments and the statutes of God, which God says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And if you don't, and you say you love me, you're a liar. We talked about that last week a little bit. But the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor comes humility. God's word humbles us. God's word takes away any possible effort that man has that he can come to a saving knowledge of who God is. If it's not revealed to you and you've not prayed, oh God, if you don't reveal this to me, I'm going to die and go to hell. If he doesn't reveal it to you, you're not going to have it. I don't care what religion you have. The word of God is true and steadfast and doesn't change. And when he writes something here, I promise you, I can't promise a lot of things because I don't have any ability to make them come true, but I will promise you this, what's written in Scripture will come true. It's not based on my promises, but on the promises of God. Let's look at Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. See, fools despise wisdom instruction, but fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What's the knowledge of? It's a knowledge of who God is. It's a knowledge of where man stands inside of a holy God. He's not a loving God only. He's a holy God, and he uses his holy nature to enact any act that he does for us or upon us. If he destroys us, it's a holy righteousness wrath that will come upon us. Everything he's done is based on holiness. And we have to understand that. That's the knowledge that the fear of God allows me to understand, that I cannot... See, in our world today, we are so complacent, and we're so, we've bought into this thing about just accepting everybody for where they're at and allowing them to stay where they're at. Now, I'm not against accepting everybody from where they're at, but I'm truly against leaving everybody where they're at. For all have sinned and come short of God's glory. If you've sinned against one part of the law, you're sinned against all of the law. So the knowledge of the fear of God tells me that, gosh, you know what? I have no hope. The fear of God brings me to that revelation in my life that I have no hope. There's literally no hope for any of us. As humanity stands before God, there's no hope. Until God gives us the hope in himself through his son Jesus Christ, who sent his son so that we might not suffer the wrath of God because of sin. See, that's the knowledge as you begin to read the scripture with the fear of God in your life instead of reading it with the love of God in your life. The love of God doesn't come until later. The realization of love in your life doesn't come until later, until after the fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be a fool. God, you need to pray this afternoon and in your mornings, God, am I a fool? God, can I not receive your instruction? See, how many of us will ask, am I a fool? Oh, I've been in church my whole life. I can't be a fool. No, there's a lot more fools this morning in church than not. Because they won't receive the instruction of the Lord in fear. You see, when in our Sunday school lesson this morning, when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. I love how the disciples responded and said, Lord, is it I? Because God knows. That's his sovereign knowledge, is to know. But each one of them were not so arrogant and prideful to ask him, Lord, is it I? Am I the one that will be betraying you? See, God teaches us biblical principles through the lives of those that he dealt with. And when I read this, I'm to ask God, am I a fool? I would venture to say there's not too many in here or in many churches that have asked God, am I a fool? And if you don't ask, you may never know. And if you never know, you may die and go to hell. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Here it is. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So the only way I can get knowledge of the Holy One and begin to understand who God is and how God operates is I've got to have fear. See, we want the love of God, not the fear of God. But yet it's the fear of God that triggers the love of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I've got to get this wisdom. He's got to give that to me. We just read that, about that. And the knowledge of the Holy One. It's not just a knowledge of God. It's a knowledge of the Holy One. See, sometimes when we forget and just say God, we forget that holiness comes with that. That's why I like the scriptures, and we read all the scriptures to remind us that he is the Holy One. And the knowledge and the wisdom that I want is about him. Because when I gain knowledge about him, it then reflects on the knowledge about me. And now I can come to that point in life and say, now I'm hopelessly, helplessly lost. I have that wicked heart. I was born with a wicked heart from my youth. There's nothing I can do to make my heart not wicked. It's a natural heart. Flesh begets flesh. That's all you have. We have to understand that. That's the playing field. We all have the same problem. We all have the same problem. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Let's look at Proverbs 8:13. See, now we're getting into the result of fearing God. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. So how can you say you love God and you remain evil? Because you don't have any fear. See, what religion does is allow you to operate within the realm of the natural man, have a relationship with God, and that's a false, that doesn't exist. And these people stand before him and they say, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Do we even fear that? When we just look at this as another book or another reason to feel good, no, this book is to change you. This book is to dissect you. This book is to reveal to you that what you are. But if I don't pick it up with the fear of God, then I don't get this. So many people say, well, I don't hear God. I want to hear him. I want to hear him. Well, then fear him. He doesn't speak to anyone that doesn't fear him. How can I say that? Because I just read it. I just read it from his own words, from his own mouth. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance in the evil way. Whether you like it or not, you have a proud heart. No, I don't. Yes, you do. How do I know? Because I read it in here. God told me you have a proud heart. But before he told you had a proud heart, he told me I have a proud heart. And now my job is to tell you you have a proud heart. After he told me I have a proud heart. That's my responsibility. I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to tell you what you have. Because you won't read it for yourself. You won't sit down with God. You won't seek it like silver. You won't seek it like a treasure. So we have to have somebody stand up here and tell you. The sad thing is, churches are full this morning and people aren't being told truth. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and to perverted mouth, I hate. I mean, God hates? Wait a minute, this is a loving God. He can't hate. Yeah, God hates. There's a righteous anger that God has. There's a righteous hatred that God has. And he hates evil. And he hates anything contrary to what he's written. And we've got to begin to fear that. We need to bring the fear of God back into the church. Because we've become so complacent on his love. And we've allowed the world to talk about the love of God. That we've not talked about the fear of God, which according to what I've read this morning, without that fear, you don't know any of this. Let's look at Job 28. Just trying to exemplify to you God's word, the Old Testament is as important as the New Testament. See, we're the ones that divided the Bible into Old Testament and New Testament. It's all God's word. It's all Holy Scripture. It was all penned by the Holy Spirit. beginning in verse 12 of 28. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it's not in me. The sea says, it's not in me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in a gold or ophrah or precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it. Nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystals are not to be mentioned. And the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. How do I get pearls? Deep down into the ocean, I find a clam, I open them up, and guess what? There's a pearl in there. Whoa! You can't get wisdom by your own human efforts of searching for it. Or experiences do not give wisdom. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it. How valuable is this wisdom that we're talking about? Because without this wisdom and understanding, you cannot come to the saving knowledge of who God is, and you cannot work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You cannot become a discipleship in the right position so that God's teaching you. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. Where then does wisdom come from? And where is the place of understanding? Thus is hidden. Listen to me. It is hidden. God hides it from you. God hides it from your arrogance. God hides it from your heart. God keeps it from you. This is hidden from the eyes of all the living and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abandoned, and death says, with our ears we have heard a report of it. We've heard that it's out there. But how do I get it? I heard it's out there, but where's it at? Because without the wisdom of God, you'll never be a child of God. Where's it at? Well, God understands its ways, and he knows its place. For he looks to the ends of the earth, and he sees everything under the heavens. When he imparted weight to the wind, and he metered out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain, and of course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it, and he also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. And then to depart from evil is understanding. Wow. I think are we too prideful and arrogant to get this? And that's why we had to come up. Heard a sermon from an individual, and he was talking about how his dad got 50 people to say the Lord's Prayer. I'm praying for those 50 people because those people are lost. When a man tells you you're a sinner and you're not convicted by the Holy Spirit and you go by the way of man and the way of religion, you're going to be left undone. If the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you, if you don't read the Scriptures with the fear of God in mind, and the Holy Spirit doesn't convict you of your sins, and the wisdom of God doesn't give you understanding that you've got to be taught by God, that when you become that disciple, all that is a following the teachings of Jesus Christ, and the teachings of Jesus Christ lead you to the point that you realize that you're hopelessly, helplessly lost when you follow Jesus. See, we follow Jesus, but where's everybody following him to? They're following to heaven. They're not following to the righteous ways of God. Jesus never led us to heaven. Jesus never leads anyone to heaven. He leads them to the fear of God. And through the fear of God, we become the righteousness of God. And because we're a child of God, that's why we go to heaven. Does that make sense? Because that's not what's being taught. And that's not being preached in most of the churches this morning. Do you fear God?